This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. I'm glad you're here. As usual, I'm running this thing solo. And today we're going to just continue in our series where we review the season of an NBA team a little bit from a betting perspective, although there's really only so much you can do. We talk about the vibes, the major storylines within the teams, fun stuff like that. And today's going to be the Washington Wizards. Again, a little odd. I get it, right? Because I probably don't have too many people that listen to this that are Wizards fans. But again, the goal with this series is just to go through team by team. That way we feel like we have a better feel for them heading into the new season. If you haven't already, we did the Pistons last one. Talked a lot of Cade, a lot about the future of that team. And it was before the draft, so there is obviously some new stuff as well. But I'm glad, as we move forward, most of these teams are going to do it with, the free agents already have been added. The draft has happened. And we really, free agency is kind of almost winding down. We'll have a pod that after free agency to kind of recap how that went. And then we really get into the dead moments of summer. So the perfect time to just team by team. And hopefully, I got people who listen who are fans of different teams. And we'll eventually get to yours. But today's the Wizards. And the Wizards were not a good basketball team last year. In terms of wins and losses, they were the second worst team in the league right after Detroit. They finished 15-67. In terms of their spread percentage, they weren't at the bottom, but they weren't good. Finished last year 36-43 against the spread. Books were pretty right on them, honestly. Wasn't to the point where you could just if you blindly faded them, you made maybe a little bit of money, but not very much. But it was almost, I think for a while, the Wizards have been in kind of the worst spot in the NBA. You think back to like John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter days. They had Paul Pierce for a bit where like they actually did have some moments where it was like, okay, maybe you can contend for a title. Like it's still very much a long shot, but like maybe John Wall, and they had their moments. I think the furthest they got was the Eastern Conference Finals, but it still felt like they were never complete enough to really, really challenge for a title. And then obviously Otto Porter fades, John Wall gets hurt and fades, you deal Beal. And I will say that the Wizards have been at a pretty low point for a while, and it felt like one of their lowest points ever, at least to me. I've watched the NBA pretty heavily for like 12, 13, 14 years, to the point where it's like, all right, they had signed these guys who were talented, but just so overpaid because it's Washington and you want to do whatever you can to get guys there. And so Beal goes for really nothing. Kristaps Porzingis goes for really nothing. And you're just kind of sitting here like, fuck, we're a really bad team with no real guys that we can bank on. And this basketball team's kind of dead, right? And then Michael Winger and Will Dawkins take over. And I hadn't personally heard very much about Will Dawkins and Michael Winger. I think I've heard of their names before, but I mean, I usually have takes and opinions on whether it's coaches or front office guys on their basketball acumen. And I'm not perfect and I'm not going to have a perfect eval every time. But like, I generally have an idea of like, okay, is this person a basketball guy? Is this a guy you want to trust running your organization or running your basketball team? And I didn't really know. Right. And so you go into last year and Wes Unseld's the coach. And Wes Unseld strikes me, I don't think he's a bad coach, but he strikes me as a win now coach. And what I mean by that, it's kind of the Monty Williams mold of like more traditional, better to coach like a veteran team type vibe, can get the most out of a veteran team and kind of grind, help you grind to like an AFC play-in type a deal coach, right? And I think when he took over, that's kind of what the Wizards were trying to do. And I, again, we talk about basketball philosophy. That's the worst spot to be in the NBA is the, okay, we will take being a play-in team as success type of franchise, right? The Wizards a couple years ago, the Pistons before they really bottomed out. You could kind of say the Hawks now, but it's like the Hawks at least have Trae Young, right? Where it's like you're not terrible, you're not god awful, but you're not winning anything of any significance anytime soon. And anyways, that's where it felt like the Wizards were at, and that's kind of the coach that they, the type of coach they had. And so Brian O'Keefe takes over midway through the season. And I'm still kind of feeling out Brian O'Keefe, but it seems like the players respect him. It seems like he's a better developmental guy. It seems like he brings good energy, you know. And you can kind of tell those things right away. I remember as soon as Mark Daigneault took over, you were like, damn, this is a dude. This is a dude. As soon as Taylor Jenkins took over, you're like, damn, this is a dude. Will Hardy's the same way. Where it's like, Will Hardy, that's a guy you want to lead your basketball team. Jamal Mosley, I think he still has room work to do in terms of the X's and O's of basketball. I don't think he's bad, but I don't think he's on Will Hardy, Mark Daigneault, Taylor Jenkins level, but like really, really good motivator, really, really, really good motivator. And I think the X's and O's stuff, you can surround yourself with a staff to address it. And on top of that, you get better at it. Regardless, Brian O'Keefe, I don't know if he'll be at that level, but he, to me, again, when you're looking for a new coach for a young team, you want to get that younger, he doesn't have to be 31 years old, but like a guy that is less traditional, less set in his ways, who brings energy, who has just a fresh perspective on the game and can connect with these dudes, but also keep it real. He strikes me as a guy that does that. And can be that. So I think that was a good hire. And I think the fact that, he was the interim head coach, and then they bring him back after kind of a search is a good sign. And I don't think you do that unless the players you have really fuck with you. So that's a good thing. You got your coach, right? It remains to be seen. Like, we'll see, but I think it's a good start. And then on top of that, last year, I'll talk about it here and there always, but I'm in a 30-team basketball league, and it tries to emulate being a real NBA GM. And so obviously we have a rookie draft, you could trade picks, all that good stuff. Past 2 years, I'm rebuilding, retooling a bit. And so I'm in these drafts. And so I'm always watching the interviews of the GMs and coaches after they draft these guys and talk about their process. And I've been really impressed with Will Dawkins in just that it seems like they're setting a really good culture. It seems like they're prioritizing the right things. And it seems like they have a real plan in place to turn this thing around. And you really, again, you have to kind of bottom out. I don't think they're going to be good next year. They shouldn't be good next year too. The 2025 class is insanely loaded. But it seems like they, you know, again, it's the worst to be a middling team. And I think the Wizards understand that. And I think when you're trying to turn around a franchise, you've got to get the coach on lock and you got to get the front office on lock. And they've done that. I think they've done that. I think they're both at passable levels. I like the energy that both are bringing. Now, as for the basketball itself, you snag a great piece in Bilal Coulibaly. I was pretty high on him last year because you watch the tape and it's like, tools can only get you so far. I'm a big fan of tools. I love tools. But tools without a brain it's not going to matter. Think Kevin Knox. Tools without feel, not going to matter. Bilal Coulibaly has tools. He has work ethic. He has a brain. And he has a fluidity in which he can move and get downhill that you combine that with the tools. I think Bilal Coulibaly could be special. I really do. And it's going to take some time because he is super, super young. But that's a guy that, like, I am very, very high on that I feel like the Wizards have to be like, all right, maybe he's never a number one guy offensively, but, like, he just fits the mold of, like, he can be your best defender when he's peak Bilal. He's looking like he's already improved so much as a shooter. I think he's going to be a real downhill threat in transition and in the half court. I love Bilal Coulibaly. I know Jordan Poole had a bad year last year. He just never looked comfortable. But as a Warriors fan, I know the talent that Jordan Poole has. And I know what he's capable of. And I know that it would be really, really easy if you're a Wizards fan at this point to kind of say, well, chalk it up. Jordan Poole is washed. But I think in basketball, when you're evaluating guys, it's you can never get too high or too low. And I think it applies to Jordan Poole. It's never as good as it seems, and it's never as bad as it seems. And with Jordan Poole, I think you just have to wait out on the talent. He's still, what, 23? At oldest, 24. And I've seen, like, again, he was a legitimate part of a title. He has on-ball skills that you can't teach the touch, fluidity of movement, just like the creativity that he plays when he has a free mind. You cannot teach that. Like, it is rare to have that level of skill. And the NBA is so hard that when you don't have rhythm, when you don't have confidence, it almost doesn't matter what skill level you have. So I would chalk that up to just a bad year. Trying to get comfortable with his new team, trying to figure out his role. You know, he's been on a team for 4 years, knows what to expect, knows the plays, knows the rotation, knows the usage, knows what he's allowed to do. And then you go to a new – you get punched in practice. Everyone in the world sees it. There's this huge thing. The team that just believed in you and signed you to a big deal deals you, and it's like, all right. I can see why that's not like an ideal situation for him. But I think the first and foremost, they got a steal in terms of all they had to give up was Chris Paul, who literally just got waived. And that the dude, Chris Paul can help a team, but he's past the point of being like, all right, playing 32 minutes a night and he's going to just really elevate us and help us. Like, he's a borderline starting point guard, a really good backup, who's almost 40. Like, that's what you gave up to get Jordan Poole. So the return on him, I understand that the contract that Jordan has is huge. But, I mean, at some point, he's going to be a return on investment. And I thought that was a super, super sharp deal. So you got Jordan Poole. You got Bilal. And then we get to this draft. And I thought they smashed this draft. I thought they knocked it out of the park. First off, I'm assuming Wizards fans have talked about it. But, look, you guys get the number two pick, which is awesome. But to me, it was like, what didn't get talked about enough is, like, to me, Alex Saar is probably – Alex Saar was the number one guy for me. Just in terms of, like, even if Alex Saar doesn't become the best peaks version of himself, superstar, whatever expectations you want to put on him, there are a few archetypes more valuable than the long, mobile, athletic four who can play defense out on the perimeter, move his feet, can weak side roam and rim protect, stand in there if he wants to and rim protect with offensive tools, who in theory can eventually shoot, in theory has touch, in theory can make reads, right? Like, that is why, and I'm not saying he's close to as good as Mobley was as a prospect, but that's why Mobley goes where he goes, right? That's why AD goes where he goes. That's why Jaren Jackson goes where he goes. And there's no one else in this draft. There's plenty of guys I like in this draft, and the Wizards took two of them, and we'll get to it in a little bit.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
But I'm just saying that archetype of player is so valuable in this league. And even if you don't hit a 95% outcome, there's very few pathways to which Alex Saar is not a valuable player. And the fact that – and he was really the only guy in this draft that has that skill set. And the fact that the Hawks went out, got the number one pick, and said – and I feel like Saar fits in what they do, and still said, now we'll take Zach Risacher, who, again – fun prospect. Absolutely fun prospect. Look, and I could be wrong. Zach Risacher is probably going to be the worst number one pick in the last 10 years. And I guess if you count Markel or Ben in the way they've fallen off, okay, fine. But I'm talking about recently. Like, I think the Wizards were extremely fortunate that the clear number one prospect. Because when the Hawks got the number one pick, you looked at sports books, Saar was like minus 200 to go one. And then as the intel came in, as the process really took fold, then it became Risacher for them. But Alex Saar didn't want to work out for them. And I think the fact that Saar really wanted to be in Washington, despite and it's, again, it's not like he wouldn't have fit in Atlanta. You're playing with one of the better playmakers in the league. You could play the five next to Jalen Johnson. You can play some four next to Onyeka if you can shoot. Like, it's not like he was a terrible fit. And he still wanted to go to Washington. I think that's a really good sign. And I don't think Washington – you tell me 3 years ago that a top prospect is forcing his way to Washington, I'm laughing at you. I'm saying, no way. No way that's happening. Right? So I think that's just overall a sign of things to come. And a sign of like how things have shifted in the energy of this organization. And I think that's a good thing. I think that's something Wizards fans should be pretty happy about. On top of the fact that Saar is just really good. Like, he should be really good. Again, I'm not a fortune teller. I don't know how good he's going to be. But again, the archetype is very much something that you covet. And there are so many different pathways to Alex Saar working out. I think you're going to be stoked if you're a Wizards fan. Then you go to Bub Carrington, the hometown kid, again, in a draft class, a weak draft class, no matter how you slice it, a weak draft class. Yes, there could be some good role players coming out. To get Bub Carrington, one of, if not the best pure on-ball shot makers in this class, who's a hometown kid, gamer, I mean, come on. Come on, you've got, this is just so different than what we've had in the past as Wizards fans, man. I'm a big Bub guy, right? Like, I think, when you see Bub, I'm not overthinking the shot-making ability. You look at Bub and it's like, all right, that shot-making ability, youngest dude in the class, that is not normal. I'll take that. Then you get to know the kid. Obviously, I've never met him in person, but you listen to and he wants to be there. He's from there. He's a sports guy. He's all about basketball, all about the right things. And that's the other thing that I think this front office is doing well, is they're really prioritizing the people that they're bringing in. And even Keyshawn George, bro, I'm a big Keyshawn George fan, and I don't think he is going to be ready anytime soon. But at the end of the day, he's a 6'9 forward who I'm not even sure is done growing, with legitimate feel, high IQ, and a strap. And I get the athleticism concerns. And honestly, I've dived a little bit deeper into Keyshawn compared to Bub. I love Bub. I think Bub's going to be a really good player. But I think people are overlooking Keyshawn, where it's like, he's slow-footed. He's not athletic. I think part of it is just he's still growing into that body. Bro was like 5'11 4 years ago. He put a whole foot onto his body. It's going to fucking take some time to get used to. So, like, you get a guy who I think can be not a star, but like a little bit of a jumbo creator, like a taller, higher feel, better playmaking Cam Johnson, who shoots the hell out of the ball and then leverages that to get downhill. And then once he's getting downhill, he's making high-level reads, finding dudes, or just capitalizing on the advantage and finishing at the rim. So I just thought it was a hell of a draft class from the Wizards. We definitely got to talk about the Denny Avdia deal. The official deal was Denny Avdia in exchange for Malcolm Brogdon, the number 14 pick in the class, which was Bub Carrington. So Malcolm, Bub, and a 2029 first round pick and two future second round picks. And when the story first hit, I was like, Wizards, what are y'all doing, bro? What are y'all doing? Because I love Denny. I think Denny's a really good player. If you don't already, go ahead, follow me on YouTube. We make videos generally on younger players in the league and highlight what we like about their games. I may expand eventually, but right now that's where I have the most fun. I'm not going to break down like Nikola Jokic's game, right? Because everyone knows who that is. But we'll look at younger players. So my most recent video is on Amen Thompson. If you fuck with Amen Thompson or younger players in the NBA, check it out. All right, back on track. Denny Avdia. I've done a video on Denny Avdia, and the people from Israel showed out on that video. Honestly, respect. But anyways, I love Denny Avdia, but I think the price is fair. Like, I get it in terms of the Wizards. Again, you don't want to rush. I think that's another thing you see sometimes with teams. They rebuild, they get a good basis, and they're like, I'm so hungry. Let's get back into this thing. I love that competitive spirit, but you got to be patient, and you got to let things unfold the natural right way. And then when you're in the mix, that's when you get aggressive. That's how you look at the Thunder. 2 years ago, they could have probably made the play-in, but there was no need to rush, no need to push in. Now is when they push in and they go get Isaiah Hartenstein. They go get Alex Caruso, right? You wait until you're well-positioned and then you go. And so with the Wizards, I think it's important to be patient. And again, at first, I'm like, don't trade Denny. That's a legit 6'9 dude who can defend, who's developed a jumper, who's strong, who's smart, who's a really good passer. But I get it given the timeline where Denny, you're out to pay him. You probably aren't competing until minimum 3 years from now, at which Denny is still a part of this thing. But like, I get wanting to kind of, all right, if we can replace Denny with a guy we really like in this class with another, and that, I don't know what that future first is, but I assume it's from the Blazers. The Blazers, I don't think they're going to be good in 2029 either. And then Malcolm Brogdon, I don't know. Maybe you get something. I don't know. Maybe not, given the contract. But maybe you get something for him down the line. So I like it, right? You swap Bub out for Denny, and then you go get you have future ammo with that first. I don't mind it. And then you don't have to pay Denny right now. Again, at first, wasn't sure about it. But I get it. More I've thought about it. And so then, you know, now here we are. We've got a fun young core. And I think these are really fun times, right? When you're in that middling kind of area that the Wizards have been in for a while, it's not even fun to watch the games. Like, oh, yay, we won 36 games. Oh, yeah, like we won 36 games with a team of a couple above average players with Kyle Kuzma shooting 27 shots a game. Like, yay. No, I would rather lose 52 games with a purpose, have some moments with the young guys where you can literally see them grow, and then now you get a better pick. Like, I just think this year is going to be so much more exciting because you have Sar to watch, you have Bilal to watch, you have Bub to watch, you have Keyshawn to watch. You know, you have... that's about it. I mean, Corey Kispert, I think, can be a solid role player. Kyle Kuzma's, you know, solid. Jordan Poole, right? I think, you know, you got to look at Jordan Poole and be excited. He's, again, just 25 years old. I think he's going to have a good year. Yasai and Jonas, just to give you some size. And, again, at that price, I don't mind it, right? You need a vet to kind of come in and take some of these guys under his wing. The one man that we haven't talked about that we got to talk about is Tristan Vukovic. I really like Tristan Vukovic's game. I saw that they didn't pick up his team option. Nothing has happened yet. I would very much assume that Tristan is coming back on a long-term deal, and that is what they're trying to work out. Where it's like, all right, we like you. Let's just work out a long-term deal. We're going to decline your team option, and we'll go from there. Because I love the tools. I love what he flashed. I'd be very shocked if he's gone, guys. I would. I know there's probably some people that'll be concerned. Be very shocked if he's gone. Johnny Davis, I can't lie. It's not looking good. And I'm a guy that really stays in on dudes for a while. Like, if you have talent, I will ride with you till you're 26 years old, right? Past that, okay. All right. But if you're talented and show anything, I'll stick with you. I don't know that I'm going to be able to do that with Johnny Davis. And that's just tough because he just looks like a completely different player than he did at Wisconsin. The confidence gone through the window. Can't shoot. I don't know what happened to his jumper. But we don't even really need to talk about that. And I don't even think at this point that they need Johnny Davis to pan out for you two guys to feel good about this squad. So... yeah, we're looking at Jordan. I'm curious to see if Tyus comes back. Again, if Tyus comes back, again, another sign that this front office and head coaching staff is bringing energy. Because Tyus Jones knows what it is with this team. He knows they're not competing for a while. He knows he's pretty good at basketball and can help a team win games. And so if he's coming back, he's fully bought in on the vision. I'm going to assume he doesn't. You're going Jordan Poole at the one, Kispert at the two, Kuz at the three, Sar at the four, Jonas at the five. You got some Wizard fans may get mad at me. I wonder if Bilal can start at the two. You know what? He probably can. I wouldn't be surprised if Corey starts the year there just because it's like, all right, we know what we have, a little bit more solid. But you got to prioritize what you have in Bilal. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's JP, Bilal, Kusar, Jonas. But regardless, it's a fun team. There's energy. I wouldn't even be surprised at all either if they go Malcolm Brogdon at the one, JP at the two, Bilal at the three, Kuz at the four, Jonas at the five, and then have Sar start the year off the bench either. They could definitely go that way. So regardless, whatever way they go, there's five, six, seven guys that you're like, all right, this is a fun team. I'm excited to see what we can do. And I think it's going to be a much different experience for the Wizards next year. In terms of betting, again, I think it'll be a sneaky team. And I think you can always find some value on teams that bottom out and then you start to see the right step being put in place. And I think this Wizards team is one of those teams. I don't know if it's going to be next year, right? It's not like I'm going to be chomping at the bit to target this team. But I do think it's a team that's going to be pretty undervalued because of, one, how bad they were last year. And really, that's the main thing. They were just not a good basketball team last year. And on paper, they're not a good basketball team this year. And I'm not even saying that they are. But I just think they will be undervalued a lot of times. You can get them as a big dog. You can get them at home. And I think you give Brian O'Keefe another year to really kind of install his principles. Again, that's another thing. It is really hard to take over a basketball team and run the show as a rookie coach mid-year. Like, you, an offseason is huge for installing your principles and just having a training camp. And so I think it's going to be a really fun team to monitor next year. Anyways, I think that about does it. Again, we did the Pistons last week. I would feel much, much better as a Wizards fan than a Pistons fan. And I think for the first time in a really long time, the Wizards actually have some shit, good shit going on. They have some good shit going on, and Wizards fans should be happy. I think it'll be a team we'll target next year. I don't think they're going to win many games, but I do think they can cover some spreads. And I think they're going to be exciting. And I'm really excited to see how Sar fits in. I'm excited to see how Bilal takes a step. I'm excited to see how Keyshawn and the kid Bub, you know, look in their rookie years. And overall, just a team that for years I have not watched, really. I mean, I've watched them, but not willingly. I've had either a bet on the game or a fantasy player in the game, and I'm like, all right, I'll watch some Wizards basketball. But it's never been by choice. Anyways, I love you guys, and I will say that's changed. I love you guys. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you guys next week. We'll probably do a free agency pod and then another team or whatever, but we'll talk soon. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.